Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here to talk about the second batch of Circle episodes here on the podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, talking about week two of season four of The Circle US on Netflix. That's how many qualifiers we have to open the podcast with. This is the Spice Girls edition of The Circle. If you weren't sure which season four it was, we are here to talk about it. And with me to talk about it is Mike Bloom. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Taryn. I'm ready to sit here for the long haul. I'm on my vulva pillow right now, so I'm just settled in. I just have one question for you, Taryn. Who do you think you are? You love plain yogurt so much, but why are your takes so spicy? That's my anonymous question.
Are you going to ask me a question about basketball?
Yeah, exactly. What does it mean? What's a field goal mean in basketball?
Trick question. There's not a field goal in basketball.
All right. I totally trust you now. You've got me 100%.
I am the future NBA player. That is me.
Yeah, maybe this doesn't work for the people that are just listening to this. I did need to hold up a picture of Taryn Armstrong, the prolific college athlete. Is he still in college, I think?
I don't know, actually. Maybe.
Honestly,
yeah.
This doesn't not look like someone you would catfish as in The Circle, right? Yeah. Like, younger, handsome-esque white guy. It feels like we've got like one of those every season. So like maybe we'll see a Taryn Armstrong show up in season five.
Maybe. Yeah. And for those that don't, there is there's potential that a Taryn Armstrong might eventually be drafted into the NBA is what I'm hearing about his prospects. It's actually a funny story that I believe this is the same Taryn Armstrong that years ago, when he was still but a child, messaged me on Facebook and went, "Hey, fellow Taryn Armstrong."
Oh, wow. He slid into your DMs?
There's not many of us God. Out there.
Yeah, that is wild. I don't have a lot of Mike Blooms. I have like the CEO, former CEO of Family Dollar, who was featured on an episode of Undercover Boss. I have a former member of Rilo Kiley, and I have a hockey player who, if you Google said hockey player, my picture shows up instead of that person's picture. So I do apologize, sir, for stealing your identity.
Oh, man. I feel like your picture shows up in a lot of Google searches.
Just in general? My picture shows up?
I swear, I'm not seeing it now, but I swear that, like, I think it was after talking to somebody that, like, that was like, oh, if you Google best Big Brother players, like their picture would show up. And I swear when I Googled it, I swear I saw your photo at one point.
Well, secret's out. I am I don't one of see the best big color players.
We have another person here with us as well. Hopefully it's one of many Sashas. But we have a Sasha joining us. Sasha, how you doing?
So good. I'm here. Just add gas because we're moving. Okay. And while y'all are talking, I had to Google my name and yeah, just a bunch of doctors, which is like, you know, it's like, how embarrassing can it be for me, an Indian Jew who's not a doctor, for only doctors to show up? So, you know, it's just like, mom, just don't listen to this podcast. It's already.
But
isn't
that the idea of like natural balance being brought to the world order, though, of like there are so many that there needs to be a Sasha Joseph who does a celebrity gossip podcast to
exactly.
just make sure the world is right?
I am single-handedly holding this earth together. You're welcome, everyone.
Man, it's a shame we didn't have the imposter version of the circle to talk about.
It might happen one day. Who knows? I mean, we'll talk about maybe like the direction the franchise is going. Who the hell? I mean, there was a celebrity show though, right? Wasn't there a celebrity show called like Who Do You Think You Are, where like people who had the same name as celebrities would meet said celebrities? I'm pretty sure, which again shows like how TV can sometimes scrape the bottom of the barrel when it comes to ideas. I'm pretty sure that's been done before.
Jimmy Kimmel does that, right? That's a recurring bit on his talk show where he'll have like these people with like an Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever on like Zoom. And just like talk about how, oh, tell me something interesting happening in your life. And they're like, besides my name, nothing. But that's the only thing I remember. And it's like a segment, but what?
Like, wait a minute, what's it like to have the name of a celebrity? Yeah, people, they comment on it. Yeah.
Yeah, they think that I'm some more famous than I actually am.
Tony Hawk will like always tweet, I guess, if like someone will be like, hey, you look like Tony Hawk. And then they'll be like, what's your name? And he says, Tony Hawk. They're like, whoa, you have the same name too.
All right. So I looked it up. The show is called, for lack of creative enthusiasm here, Same Name. It was on for one season 10 years ago in 2011. And it was not only a like, oh, here's someone with the same name as you. It was also a life swap show. So, like, you would switch places with the celebrity you had the same name as, and the celebrity would go do your mundane-ass thing for a week or something.
Well, but okay, the thing I'm more interested in is them going to, like, celebrity events as the celebrity.
Be like, but I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. What do you mean?
Yeah. You go to a gym.
Oh, my God.
Wait, this show aired for 4 episodes. It didn't even make
How do you remember this?
It's in the Wikipedia. I don't remember this.
Remembered that it existed.
Yeah,
you caught those 4 episodes.
All I remember are like C-list reality programs and Spice Girls music videos. Those are my top 2, and so I would have killed it this season of The Circle.
David Hasselhoff, Kathy Griffin, Mike Tyson, don't go on planes with him, and Reggie Bush. Those were the 4.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and now
Reggie
I remember.
Bush in 2011.
Ooh. This was because there was a competition. Remember the one in Big Brother 13?
Big Brother 13.
Right? Yeah, that was the one where Jordan be like, oh, I think it's David Hasselhoff. And Jeff's like, oh, you dummy. It's not David Hasselhoff. And it was David Hasselhoff.
Yes, that's literally the promo piece on Wikipedia. That's literally what it said.
Look at us. Look at us talking about The Circle.
It's a reflection upon the season of The Circle itself. Maybe a smidge that we talked about a 4-episode CBS reality show from 11 years ago, maybe over the last 4 episodes of The Circle at front of mind.
Yes, we have a different 4 episodes to talk about here. I think that overall, I preferred the first 4 episodes, but I do like that we have gotten into more of like the actual storyline for the season here in these 4 episodes. I feel like part of these 4 episodes, the second batch of episodes for me, and by the way, of course, spoilers through the second batch of 4 episodes, so episode 8 of season 4 of The Circle, we will talk about all 4 episodes here, and then we may also mention what we saw in the preview, but I honestly don't remember what happened in the preview. I think for me, part of it for this batch of episodes is that I quickly gained I was like, okay, this is my favorite person on The Circle. And then she was immediately blocked.
Love no one. That's the point.
And also, unfortunately, one of 2 people blocked so far in a season that is more than halfway over, which is interesting. Yeah, I mean, listen, like, it's not our job to come in here with any sense of ambivalence, but I'm kind of just like, it's pretty good. I don't know. I don't think there's nothing that is incredibly sticking out to me one way or the other. I think you brought up some really salient points last time, Taryn, about how, you know, I do think this sort of specter of the Spice Girls really pulled away from some things, and while made it fun, maybe kind of brought the season off to a slow start where, again, they did this blocking and then they had three episodes of Spice Girls stuff before we could get into it. And so that kind of helped throw off the momentum of it. But for whatever reason, you know, I really interestingly counter this to something like what Survivor's doing right now, where Survivor has quite literally adopted the same formula, twists and everything into a new season, but like changed the cast, obviously, and we get completely different results. It seems like for me, for whatever reason, the Circle US has kind of settled into, I don't know if it's archetypes, like we can't do that. I don't think we can like Angie Cons this stuff out yet, but it does feel like there are buckets that they keep casting people in where now they're changing up the game. And I there are some things that I really appreciate that they did this season that we'll certainly get into. They're changing up the structure and the twists and all that, but they're kind of keeping the casting the same. And it's so interesting to see how they counter each other. And I think as a result of that, I'm seeing a bit of diminishing returns personally, not to say that there's anyone I dislike, but there's no one right now that I vehemently love as much as like people who really hit me right at the top of the last three seasons.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Yeah. I feel that with Brew, where it's like this is their this is their Nick, this is their you know, other generic straight white guy that was on the previous seasons before Nick.
There he is. There he is.
Mike, you have to post this picture when this goes live.
And I like Brew. He seems fine. I like Frank a lot. I think he's really funny. But I do agree. I think that like they really are like honed in on specific, like this is this character, this is this character. I think, you know, seeing a different sort of dynamic would be a little better.
Yeah, I do like this cast better than last season's, I will say. For me, I mean, Yuling Gang, Rise Up, obviously. Short Queens, we love it. But it's also, I think, I don't know, I watch The Circle for the gimmick, right? Like, to me, it's like, what a show am I watching? Like, my husband would tell everyone, oh, Sasha's watching this show where people talk to their TVs. And I was like, listen, don't be embarrassing. Like, don't do this to me. But it's like, I love the Spice Girls, but what else? You know what I mean? I was like, okay, that was cute. But, you know, it's like, you didn't give me much. And I feel like Melby and Emma, I was like, ma'am, like, y'all, come on. I feel like, why are y'all taking 10 years to type when, you know, Miss Carol is moving quick with it? So it's just, that part was a little bummerish because I was actually excited to see them. I was like, oh, the Lance Bass thing. Now we're getting the actual Spice Girls. So maybe, you know, they're like stepping it up. But I just felt like it was a bummer, or they could have done more with what. Because I feel like they have so much access to things. Like, how can you get the Spice Girls on a reality show? You know, do more, like do something.
Well, didn't Emma say that she was a fan of the show originally? And I think that certainly helps. Like, listen, appearance fees, I'm sure, definitely came into play. But I do think if the celebrity in particular is a fan of the show, though, it's interesting. Like, I know Brew is not like necessarily as big of a celebrity as them, but like, do you think he applied or do you think he was asked?
It feels, I mean, given how I assume big he is on TikTok, I assume they probably recruited him. You know, who knows? I feel like given the fact that in these episodes, we see that like, the biggest thing for them to talk about is like, guys, the Spice Girls were here. let me tell you about how exciting that was for all the new people.
That's true.
Yeah, but
and I feel like they aren't. Oh, sorry.
No, please.
I feel like they aren't doing a lot of also like things together. Because I was looking through like, oh, what should I be taking notes on? And I didn't feel like there was a lot of like chats that were, you know, I could name probably five that were like, the Krista Frank Yuling chat, right? Like, was amazing. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I was like, we're not really even getting that. So what's the tea? Like, what are we getting? Give me parties. And even the parties seem so meh, which is like, listen, last season I was all in on the party, and now I was like, oh, even the parties or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I feel like we've actually leaned more into like games this season, or at least this mm-hmm. week, right? Because we had the roast. We had that mm-hmm. photo game that I was talking about. We had the, the superlative.
What do you think?
Yeah. Again, that's sort of like them doing like a different version of the Circle Awards. So it's interesting that they're leaning more into those. And I'm happy to do that because, you know, much like the task on Big Brother Canada, like they're not only ways to alleviate, but when these people are looking to glom onto anything, it's a really great, great thing to do. But yeah, I agree, Sasha. I feel like we haven't seen, and again, maybe it's because the topic of conversation in chats has been so Spice Girls focused.
Yeah.
We talked about this, you know, last week, Taryn, and we're seeing a little bit more of like what the relationships are, but it does feel, again, a bit of a delayed start, right? That we're like 3 episodes yeah. behind almost where we're supposed to be, which is reflected in the number of blockings that have already occurred up to this point.
Yeah. Now, I also, there are some things that I like about this season so far. One is that I love that we are already filled up. That yes. No more yes. people yeah. are being added. Love that, because I really, it makes me feel like, okay, even though I do feel like we had a late start, I feel like now I know everyone, and I'm not going to, like, those last 4 episodes or whatever, however many episodes are left, I'm not going to feel like, oh, you got to introduce a new person. Like, so hopefully those are set up to be much, much better. I'm sure we'll get to this, but I also do, I think the safety chain concept works very well in the Circle setting. So we're seeing a lot of safety chains nowadays.
I mean, it's a great concept, though. Mm-hmm. I think that it's just like a really fantastic, simple concept in reality television. I mean, there's an entire like online reality game based around it. I think it's called like Totem Pole or something.
Penthouse.
Yeah, or Penthouse, I think I've heard yeah. about that as well, right? Where it's just like...
They changed the name, sorry.
That's yeah, and this yeah. was actually the entire onus of a couple of seasons of The Challenge. If anyone's ever watched The Duel, how The Duel worked was like there was one winner of each challenge, and then they just picked someone to be yep. safe, and they kept picking until one person is left over. It's incredibly efficient in just like we saw with Yuling, having to show your cards. And I think sometimes that even does a better job than like, oh, you have to write this thing or, you know, write mm-hmm. this battle rap about somebody. It's just a way for you to not hide. That's the thing, is that I think with the roast, for example, you could tell that like, well, some people went after other people. A lot of people use it as an excuse to be like, I don't know, comedy. Sorry, Nikki Glaser. I wrote some lame jokes here. But here it's like, no, you have to save somebody. Who are you closest with? And it led to, in my opinion, like one of the most interesting events of the season, because it allowed all of these conversations to like finally bubble up to the surface.
Yeah. In the way that the like Spice Girls vote was like, oh, look at the tension that this will cause. And then immediately what we see at the start of these 4 episodes is that like nobody really, it was like, it was such a compliment, everyone. And, you know, nobody actually minds. And the fact that like they've played up like the, oh, everyone's on to Carol, but like, it's become clear nobody really cares, which is fine. Like, it's yeah. fine. Just like, if that's your primary conflict, then it's not a conflict. So don't play it up like it is.
What did you think of the cliffhanger, by the way? Because we got one going into this week, and we obviously have one going into next week. Though, I don't know, maybe we'll get a little bit spoilery, because I'm glad you don't remember the promos, Taryn, because if you watch the promos, I feel like you could very easily tell what's happening. But... What do you think of sort of like the, we're going to cut each episode off like a minute early and then just put the first minute as the first minute in the next episode next week?
Yeah, I mean, given the fact that they only needed one more not Spice Girl vote and there were like 3 votes, it was like it felt like, okay, obviously they succeed and it didn't feel like much of a cliffhanger. And then this one, I also feel like, I guess don't answer this question if the preview gives it away, but like, are we really gonna like lose Alyssa over Carol? Like, I just feel like, of course Brew picks Alyssa, right? Like, that was the choice, right? Brew,
Yeah, between those two.
Yeah, I just feel like it's. I get that he had the good conversation with Carol, and that he has that relationship with Carol. But like he's been down with Alyssa. I don't know. I feel like it seems not that. And if it was like a big surprise, if it's like whoa, oh my god, he did pick Carol to stay, then I'd want it to be at the culmination of the episode, not at the beginning where I'm like, oh, okay, that's what he did. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big thing. I just don't understand why these kinds of shows, right? When you're a Netflix semi-binge show, and secondly, you know, it's pre-recorded. It's not live. So I don't understand why you wouldn't leave us actually wanting to talk about it more. Because to me, if we knew the answer, I think that's what we'd be talking about, where to analyze the safety chain and really talk through it all. And now we're just kind of like, well, yeah, the preview kind of gave it away. Cool. You know, I feel like it almost lets the air out of the suspense. And even the Spice Girls one, to me, that wasn't even really a cliffhanger. I was like, whatever, you tried it. But with this one, I was like, you're trying so hard. And I don't know why, because I'm going to come back to watch the finale. You know, like that's the worst for you to leave a cliffhanger on, because more likely people will come back for those four over these four that we're watching. So it's just, it's so silly to me. And I just feel like they kind of played with us a little too much, and I don't appreciate it.
That being said, again, like that is, you know, the lowest point, I would say, of overall, again, I think a very strong thing to put in here.
Yeah.
It is a little sucky that we've, again, only had two blockings in 8 episodes. And it means we're probably going to get a little Fast and Furious moving forward. But if it allows eliminations like this, and especially, I could not agree with you more, Taryn, as soon as we got that announcement of the circle is now completed, I was so happy, because not only do you talk about like throwing off the flow of the edit with having to introduce somebody in, you know, basically the penultimate week or like the last 5 episodes, but also like they never have a chance at winning, right? Either they are fodder.
Nor do you really want them to.
Yeah,
because you haven't been like they might have some rootability depending on their personality, but like you haven't been following their journey the entire season like these other people. So I feel like it really is just like a lose almost. You could become the Jack and Lisa when they were playing whatever's his name in John, I think, in season 2, where like they barely make the finale because they're not a threat, and then they finish in 5th place because nobody knows them. Or you could be, I think her name was Jackie last season, right? The really tall gamer girl who like came in and immediately got eliminated. Like those are the two paths to take for really late entries. And so, I mean, we'll see what happens with Everson and Trevor / Imani, but at least now they have a bit of a fighting chance, and that now they're entering a little over the halfway point instead of like, hey, you're a couple days from the end. By the way, here's someone new. Hope you get to know them, because they may or may not be able to help you win at the end.
Yeah, it's also strange to me that Trevor is, I mean, we talked about this last week, but like that Trevor is introduced so late. And it kind of feels like an afterthought, given, I mean, he's the, you know, he was a profile on the show.
I like, love it.
Do you think Imani's coming next?
Oh my god, yeah. That's the safety chain.
That's like the true safety chain.
It's interesting. Oh, so, I mean, I was so thrilled about this for many reasons. Like, I always love the connectors to previous seasons. Now, look, you do get things like, you know, Pauly Calafiore and Brandon Hands. But, like, there's fun to that story, objectively, of, like, this person competed previously. But it's so interesting from Trevor, because to your point, Taryn, he was technically in a season of The Circle. And I would just love, like, the fact that he has probably been through 2 years of her, like, taunting him, being like, look what I was able to do. I won all this money. He's like, well, you couldn't do it without my face. And essentially, I would imagine the conversation went, well, I bet you can't do what I did with somebody else. And he's like, you're on. And then that's where we are right now.
And you saw how pumped he was that it was that the prize money was $50,000 more.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know that, like, I'm sure part of that was like, oh, $50,000 more, especially because it's very real to him. He's experienced the prize money before. But also, there's come on, there was a part of it that was like, I'm going to make more. I'm going to make more than her.
No, and what a draw, right? Like, why? That's a great draw for us as fans to see his journey a little bit more than the shortened episodes that we're getting from him. It makes no sense, because Mike, you already said this, but you know, they have lesser chance of winning than the original, original anyway. So to me, he already has an excuse if he doesn't win to be like, well, I wasn't in at the start. Because I think Delisa was, right? Yeah.
Delisa was, yeah.
Right. So see, already excuses.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the choice. And I don't necessarily know why. You know, when I talked to James last season, who is, you know, one of the seldom people who does win as a late entrant, like, he seemed to believe that, like, he showed up there same day one as everybody else and was just told by production, like, oh, hold on. You know, like when somebody's letting people go at like on like a carnival ride and like, okay, four more. Oh, you have to stop right there and hold up for the next one. Exactly. Like, and his friends got to go forward and he had to stay behind. And so eventually he ends up getting on, you know, this $100,000 ride. But I would love to get in the brains of production and have them figure out, even when it comes to like, why were Rachel and Alex brought in later? You know, like, why did they decide on the groupings they did at that specific point in time? Because again, going back to this sort of like chart of the later you come in, the lesser your chances are of winning. Is that like kind of putting the thumb on the scale and being like, oh, I don't think they have a great chance of winning anyway. So like, let's just throw them in episode 9.
Yeah, it seems like that might be part of it. I think that we've definitely noted that the circle is not, you know, it's not Big Brother. It's not Survivor in the sense that like to varying degrees, you know, we sort of have a pretty good sense of how involved production is on those shows. Circle maybe a little more involved. I mean, they literally control all forms of communication. So yeah, I mean, I think that it's what I hope that they continue the trend of just like having everybody in by the second batch of episodes. And really like if we remove the Spice Girls element from it, I feel like we could have introduced the final players like early on in the second batch of episodes. And I think that would have been like ideal. So, Yeah.
I do wonder, is there something to like starting with a larger cast, maybe like 10 to 12 people and then winnowing it down from there? I guess maybe the downside is just having to get to know so many people at the same time. But I don't know. I feel like as us who are fans of shows, like yeah. again, Big Brother and Survivor, where we're used to getting to know 16 to 20 personalities over the course of like a 1 hour, 2 hour episode, I think getting 4 hours essentially to get used to 10 to 12 people is not completely out of the realm of possibility.
I do think part of it too, I'm sure, is that like it prevents like a group from steamrolling in the sense that like if you add in new players, you know, every time, then it gives the opportunity for like a player to be like, oh, hey, I'm going to grab these people. These are this new meat to grab. But I feel like their twists are so twisty, turvy, you know, curvy nonsense anyway that they've got plenty of opportunity to do that. So, yeah.
And there's always ways to, I think, like bring some drama in, right? If there is a big group, like, Rachel, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is like, is it self-inflicted? Is she, you know, she's like, am I the drama? And other people see her as the drama as well, right? So there always will be people, or at least they should cast people that are, you know, always gonna throw the match and run. And Rachel, I feel like, is that. So if you have like an inner major cast, doesn't like in as in the starting 10, isn't that enough to where that now Rachel doesn't want to talk to five other people in the group? So any new person Rachel now going to take as, you know, her number. But I know that not everyone thinks like that. But still, it's just to me, it's like, let's start some actual drama with each other so that the newbies can get in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, that's again, that's part of why I like this safety chain, because yeah. it really, I think it not only helped sort of like really break up what was happening in the game in terms of exposing true allegiance, but it also helped me. Do ratings and we don't see the full ratings most of the time, and they are often so strategic that it's like, I don't know who they actually are loyal to right now. But when you're showing that they have one person to choose, and who are they going to choose? Like, now I'm really getting a sense of what their strategy is. And they are as well. And I'm really excited to see what the ramifications are from these choices. Whereas, you know, as Mike mentioned, like the roast. first of all, Nikki Glaser here. How did she was like, "Hi, I'm comedian and like roaster Nikki Glaser."
If anyone watches F-Boy Island, she's the host.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. Taryn, did you know her more or less than you knew Lil Yachty last season?
More. I've definitely heard of Nikki Glaser. I feel like I saw her on, what was that show? The one with the points what's his name? The Nerdist guy hosted.
At Midnight?
Yeah, At Midnight, yeah. I feel like I saw her on that show a couple times, but so yeah, I recognized her, but it was very like, I don't know. It was just like one of those, like, it's just awkward. It's just awkward to be like, this is me. And then having people be like, oh, she's the queen. And I'm just like, I didn't realize she was like a person that was a roaster. Like, I didn't know this.
And that's why it's so interesting comparing like their reactions to the Spice Girls with this, where it does feel like for some reason on the circle, you get more of that sense of like, a producer off camera being like, okay, look really excited for what's about to happen. And so like, that's why you get these huge reactions. They're like, oh my God, they use exclamation point. This changes everything. As opposed to like the Spice Girls did feel like that actual genuine, like, oh my God, that's incredible. So then when we go to Nikki Glaser, they're like, yes, queen. Oh, I pissed my pants watching her roast. Oh my God, this is going to be amazeballs.
The Spice Girls didn't introduce themselves as like, it's us, the Spice Girls from the world-renowned band from the 90s who we were really popular, we promise. And in the advertisements, they were like, and get ready for something spicy. Whereas with the Nikki Glaser preview, it was like, and I'm Nikki Glaser, that's a comedian roaster.
She's like working really hard because, you know, her new show is coming out on E! And literally in every commercial, she does almost like a tailored promo where for the Kardashians, she's like, oh, I know you're like wanting to watch rich women. Like now watch me move in with my parents. So, and I've seen her on a few promos like that where she does like a very deep one. So I was like, they're making her work hard now that she got her own show. So I don't remember her as a roaster. I was like, I just seen you around, but I literally had to look her up to be like, what roast has this lady done?
Yeah, that was my thing. Cause I recognized her as a comedian. I just didn't know she had a reputation for being like the roaster.
No, I feel like more so like Jeffrey Ross, probably the well-known roaster, but they probably couldn't get him. It is interesting though. Like, I don't think Netflix is under the umbrella of the show that she's on, so I find that interesting as to like, is there, obviously it's not cross promotion because she's not explicitly referencing it. Maybe she has a special that's coming out on Netflix as well that they like brought her in on. I do agree that she was an interesting, she's done a couple of roasts, but I agree, I don't know if I would necessarily equate her with roast. Hell, I would equate someone like Natasha Leggero probably more than I would Nikki Glaser with the idea of a roast.
Yeah. How do we feel about the roasts? Because see, this is part of why I really came to enjoy Krista, I loved not her actual roasts because they weren't, but I loved her enthusiasm with like, bam, got
it. Yeah, I love it. It's this idea, right, of like, it's that person who like sings terribly, but they are going for it with every single strained note where you could tell like they think they are Whitney Houston right now. And that's what Chris is like, I got him. You could tell she spent like minutes scribing all of these huge burns down thinking like, I've got him right. As opposed to like Frank, who's like the Ned Flanders of the circle and just goes with like this very positive rap about what he likes about everybody.
Which also, were you surprised? Because I was like, Frank, I thought you dragged him to hell, but you just wrote like a very nice, like like a poem or like a dedication where I was like, drag them.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He was the guy also who, like, when people were being asked direct questions, was like, I respect the cop out because I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he very much knew he was copping out. Whereas I did get at least some sense from Krissa. She was like, yeah, Carol, you're a MILF. Oh,
and I was like, MILF's a compliment. Like, what are you?
Maybe the F means something different to Krissa.
Well, that's what that was suggested. I thought that was a good suggestion from Nikki.
And she says, right? She's like, oh yeah, I should have done F something else. She even think they gave that sound.
I'll do it next time. No, the highlight by far, I guess, you know, maybe a highlight is how sort of cringe Krissa was, but Alyssa, who again is probably one of my favorites out of this bunch. To Sasha's point about someone like Rachel, I do think Alyssa fully embodies that of like the just I don't give an F, especially for some reason. Like at this point of the game, she just waited a little bit. And she's like, now that I got visited by the Spice Girls, let me just start really calling people out. So she really, I mean, her brand last time that she started right was like, okay, Carol's a catfish, and now she's just like going in on it. And the Krissa slight was something that I did not expect whatsoever.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
what
know.
Everyone's been saying. Like, where did the hate come from? Like, what is going on, ma'am? Math in this one. Because she's just like, go ahead, girl, give us nothing. Don't you want that around? Don't you want someone that, like, blends in so that they're non-threat to you? Huh. Please.
See, yeah, so that's what I think that's part of the disconnect for me in these batch of episodes is that, you know, we are catching up now a bit to the relationships, but like they're not always playing out how I feel like I thought they were going to. I don't know. I assume what happened here is that Alyssa now feels like, okay, I'm playing strategically. I have a good enough relationship with Carol that even though I think she's a catfish, I don't care. Whereas Krissa is a big threat to me. And so, because she's too likable or like, well, for whatever reason, she feels like she's somebody that could win. And I think that's probably a decent call. But like, I feel like we're not, I don't know that for sure. Cause I feel like it wasn't really explained to me, from Alyssa's point of view. So when she's like going in on Krissa and then like really like gets you Ling to take Krissa out when they're influencer, I was like, whoa, like where I hadn't followed. I thought she was going to go for Carol. Okay. But she's not there. Okay. So now she's over here. And I just feel like I'm not following the through line here.
One question I had was, were the roasts, so clearly like they wrote the roasts, right? And they submitted them and, you know, some PA like ran them over to Nikki Glaser to read on camera. Did that happen before or after the ratings? Because I'd be interested if Alyssa wrote them after, could it have been, well, Krissa finished on the bottom. So, like, let me just kick her while she's down. If I'm feeling a sort of way, I would imagine some other people are as well if she finished in sixth place.
Possibly. I got the sense, though, that she saw Krissa as a threat. I don't know why, especially since she did finish near the bottom. So it's like, I don't know. Brew ends up winning the roast battle. I feel like his were fine.
I feel like Rachel was funnier. No, I was like, oh, Rachel, get maybe because I didn't expect it from Rachel. So the bar was lower versus I think for Brew. I was like, yeah, that's kind of your job. Maybe that's why.
Yeah,
so,
but also
that's my bias. But still,
Rachel kind of has that job too. I know that she's sort of like washed up by being like, oh, I'm a ghost hunter. She is like a production person behind Smosh, which is like this big YouTube channel. So like,
yeah, I didn't know she was. Oh,
yeah. So like, she's she knows her way around. You know, framing her words in a certain way.
Yeah, I did like Yu Ling here. I'm mean, but I'm not. I don't know if I can be funny.
That's me.
I was like, that was relatable. Funny. Yu Ling, you are very funny. But then her roasts weren't that funny.
I was like, what are you saying, girl? It ain't no.
Yeah,
like, I literally, like, on my notes say horrible. Like, I didn't even write it down.
Frank had skeletons in his closet. I was like, what? Like, is that meant to be offensive? Like, am I supposed to take offense behind that? Is Frank supposed to? But also, like, he's your closest ally. What were you intending to do there? Because Yuling is not necessarily one of the more, like, game body people, right? Like an Alex, like a John. I would not expect them to do that. I would not necessarily expect Yuling to be like, now is the time I bring down Frank with this witty barb about skeletons in his closet.
Yeah, Yuling also confuses me because Yuling has this great conversation with Frank and Krissa, then blocks Krissa. Then Krissa's like, why would you do that? She's like, Alyssa really got me to do that. And then is like, nah, I made a mistake. Alyssa's got to go down. These people have got to go down. But then, like, by the end of the four episodes, she's again like, nah, it's Alyssa and Brew are my people. But then she doesn't choose that. It's like, what? I don't know. I don't know what she's thinking.
See, this is where it's like, oh, my faves just have to be problematic again. Because it's like, first of all, one of the best conversations I've seen on The Circle ever, right? Like Frank, Krissa, and Yuling, like, so beautiful. They're both gassing her up. They're like, yes, you're amazing. You know, and they were honest to say, like, we see you holding back. And then you're like, but my throuple. Let me talk about the throuple. Why? Do you need sex advice? Like, it makes no sense. And then to cop out, right? To be such a baby and be like, it wasn't me. It was Alyssa. Please, woman up and just own up to it. Because if you really wanted, you know, Krissa to stay, you could have, because you are the number one influencer at the end of the day. But you couldn't do it, ma'am. And you took the L. And then she was like, Brew, he got to watch out for Brew. What? Where did that come from? Brew's so nice.
I love it, though, because like you said, it just seems like she wakes up like 5 minutes later and is like, what did I do? Oh, OK. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm like, what did this other person do while I was asleep? All right, now I have to go clean this up. And it's always really entertaining when they find them in power. I mean, let's go to that blocking with the Yuling Alyssa stuff, because again, I wish we saw more of it as to why they kept Carol. I mean, I have to imagine it's, well, we know she's a catfish, but she trusts us. And so therefore, like, it doesn't matter, which I think is a really cool evolution of the whole catfish mythology, right? We have sort of been beating this from heaven upon high for a while now of like, why does it matter what their picture looks like? 90% of the time, they're just acting like themselves anyway. I know that with some people, there's an internal logic of like, if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? But I really appreciate that you have people like Alyssa and like Brew very explicitly be like, I don't give an F. In fact, I would say maybe for future Circle players, I think you could look at the obvious catfishes as possible goats, and someone you could, if you're able to drag to the final five, could very easily help you.
Well, that's what they thought in the very first season of the UK Circle, right? It's a little bit of a mistake they made there, but I mean, I do think that I think the idea of like, oh, they're a catfish, I must get rid of them is pretty silly. The problem is that the game is so random at the end that it's like, whatever gets you there really is going to be the thing. And I think that there is some, merit to, if you are a genuine person, then if the whole sort of like narrative of the game is to get rid of catfish, that should help you a little bit if you're very obviously genuine. There's also, I think, some merit to the idea that if somebody is a catfish, they're probably a little bit more likely to be doing strategic raidings, which can either help or hurt you depending on, you know, what they think is strategic at the time. So that's interesting as well. But yeah, I mean, I think that, I think that the show also struggles to present that mindset. Like, even though we are seeing them explicitly say, because I assume that at this point they're like, well, we can't ignore it at this point. They don't care. We're still seeing like, oh, but what if Carol's a catfish? Like, they don't care. So it doesn't matter. So we don't need to see it, because it doesn't really, like, it's like, oh man, Carol's going to get caught about this. And I did this time enjoy the sex talk, about, about his mother. I asked for it. I said, I don't care about the generic, like, oh, I'm talking about sex. I wanted details, and we got details.
You got many nerve endings. Like, why was Mel B needing that? I was like, you don't. How many years have you lived on this earth and you didn't know all of this? Mel, you're killing me. So, and then the vulva hug, I loved it. That's the content I would like.
I mean, the content you like is the vulva hug? Is that what you're talking about? Like, you want
to
see
that
it?
Was so funny. Like, that's when they were like, oh yeah, Carol can't be a catfish. No kid's gonna...
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing, though, where it's like she says that, but then very clearly later on, she still fully believes that Carol's a catfish. And so it's like, why are we still pretending like it's a seesaw? Like, it really matters. Right. Like it's fine. Like, how about we lean on the fact that, like, this guy is going through with this for no reason because they don't believe that he's Carol at all.
It'd be like watching Mrs. Doubtfire and they're like, we all know you're Robin Williams. Like, you are really good at cleaning the house. Like, we're just going to let you go through with this fantasy. I would love to see that perspective of them being like, yeah, okay, John. You just keep saying Mamma Mia, hashtag Mama Carol, hashtag bottle of red, bottle of white, and just keep going with it. I love it so much. And then if anything, if you're Alyssa, right, be like, I've got more things to talk to you about.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Have Alyssa be like, Carol, I'm reaching out in a private chat again. I totally forgot to tell you. We talked about the what was it?
The vulva hug.
The vulva hug.
We now need to talk about the vagina cuddle.
or the testicle hug.
I don't want the testicle hug.
Oh my. Yeah, we got yours down. It's time for his.
Time to talk about your husband.
Both are important. Okay. No, but to me, as a like as someone watching, wouldn't that be more fun to watch someone toy?
Exactly.
To be like, you idiot, right? Instead of this like silly charade that everyone for some reason is dying to keep. I would just, because again, I'm petty. So I want to watch them be petty to each other and be like, this dummy John, like, he really thinks he got one over me. But guess what? You have the girls chat together, so we're gonna be together, no problem. We're fine.
Imagine Carol starting a like girls chat, and then every single woman in the chat like just clowning on him.
Like, yeah, just being like clitoris, just like chanting it over and over again. He's like, I don't know what we're doing. I mean, that's the tough thing though, is that we find out through this, right, that like, you can't just chat anyone anytime you want to. You almost have to, like, it's like booking an office space. You have to like check with other people's schedules and see if it lines up. So I can imagine if you're Alyssa and you're like, okay, well, I could, you know, really dunk on Carol not knowing about fallopian tubes, or I could like go chat with my allies. And I think you'd go with the latter over the former.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Alyssa and her strategy, she was the one that mentioned that she is trying to stick to small alliances, right? That she is declining group chats so that she can specifically only have like one-on-one conversations apart from, I assume, the throuple. So
three's not a crowd when you're Alyssa. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we feel about this strategy?
Yeah, I don't know, because like, I could see where she's coming from in that she feels like if she makes, and we see this a lot when it comes to, especially like modern Survivor players, I think do a good job of like making a lot of good one-on-one relationships so that you feel like no matter who is in power, you're in a fairly good standing. This happens with some of the best Big Brother players as well. But it's tough because it's almost like, you're probably not going to ever be anyone's number one from that perspective. You know, considering that the very previous season, we had these two big warring sides and there was like nary an opportunity for a Romeo and Juliet situation to happen where people sort of crossed the lines. You know, people ended up doing really successfully because of that. So I think there are merits and drawbacks to both of them. I also think from Alyssa's personal perspective, she is someone who has talked about like dealing with anxiety, dealing with like her own social mishaps, as it were. And so I can imagine from her own personal perspective, even if it doesn't make much strategic sense for her to be like, I can manage one-on-one relationships a lot more than trying to figure out where everyone in the group stands.
Yeah, and I think there's also something to the idea that, you know, if you do have a limited amount of chatting opportunities, that the one-on-one conversations are probably more fruitful than a group conversation. So,
yeah,
you know, if it was the kind of thing where it's like, okay, if I turn this down, I'll have an opportunity to instead have a one-on-one, which I'm not sure that it would be. I think it's like, look, if you keep turning down what we're proposing to you, then we're just not going to give you any chats. But I do think that, you know, that makes some sense. I think the danger of not having a group is that there's less social pressure from the group. So in a situation like the safety chain, or even like when somebody's an influencer, which is in more normal circumstance, it's like, you know, if I have a one-on-one relationship with somebody, then the person they're an influencer with is going to be like, look, nobody's going to be mad if this person leaves. Whereas if it's like I'm part of a group and I let Alyssa go, then the rest of the group's going to be like, what the hell? And they're going to kick me out of the group. And so there's more, you know, incentive to stay loyal to something like that. Although in the safety chain, we didn't exactly get the results of that either. So, you know, it's a tricky thing. I do like that Alyssa is thinking strategically, and I think she has some interesting ideas. But there are some choices that I'm like, what? Huh? Does that make sense? I don't know. And she did, I mean, it looks like she's going to narrowly escape this safety chain, but she may also be out from the safety chain, theoretically. So who knows?
Yeah, and I think also if you, and this is coming from like the gossip mindset, but if you turn down, you know, a group chat, right, or a group anything, I immediately have someone I can now like gossip about to be like, why doesn't Alyssa not like us? You know, does that mean we now all have the same, you know, person to not like? So to me, that's an immediate, so easy target that I can just be like, yeah, you can make your one-on-ones. But I know that when all of us want to get together, you're not wanting to be with us. So that must mean that it's either you hate me or you hate my friend or you hate this third person. So that means we all hate you. And to me, that's such an easy way to turn the group against someone, even if they have like a one-on-one. Because like one-on-ones can only mean so much, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends. I think it could go in a couple of directions where either it's like, great, I have the opportunity to really connect with you and you only, not you, Ling, as opposed to like being in a group setting where you have to be like, I also have to pitch in amongst four other people to like recognize that I'm a part of this and down with what everyone else is doing. But I could also imagine a situation, and we see this with the reputation behind Nathan, of like, if you are actively pursuing conversations, it can really, you know, bounce back on the other edge of that sword as like, okay, this is gamesmanship. Like, you're not just reaching out to see how I'm doing or to like get to know me better. Like, you're clearly doing this for some ulterior motive. And so again, it's a big risk either way. You know, you could be setting yourself up for more social success, especially if you are strategically picking people that you think would end up at the top and ergo save you. But at the same time, you could also be opening yourself up to your point, Sasha, like gaining some sort of reputation that might end up biting you.
Yeah, I think the way to go is what I think we see Frank do, which is the tried and tested formula of having a one-on-one with somebody, bonding with them, being like, hey, we're going to watch each other's backs. You know what? I just had an idea. Why don't we bring a third person into this conversation? Mm-hmm. And what's great about that is that you've now developed like the one-on-one, and you've made them feel like they're the number one, but now let's bring in a third to reinforce this, like a third party kind of, you know, bringing them in. But now also that's going to reinforce the social pressure of now, if you betray me, this other person's going to know and they're going to be upset with you. And also they're going to reinforce our numbers, but really it's us two over this person. And ideally you've already had a one-on-one with that person as well. So that it's like, hey, look at me, I'm blocking you two now. And that's, I think that's kind of the best way to go about it.
Yeah. And I really like it as well, because really more emphasis on social and social strategy, I would say, but still, I think very effective in cobbling those numbers together. You know, I think he ended up, number three in this past blocking? I mean, I would be surprised if in any future blocking he fell anywhere beneath that. I think, you know, you did have, who is it? Someone attempted to call out the whole, like, oh, Mr. Nice Guy thing. But I don't think anyone genuinely believes, despite what Yuling's odd roast tried to make it feel, that, like, this guy is not genuine. And I don't know if anyone genuinely looked at his, like, this giant threat at either, because there are so many people right now. I think Frank is just vibing so well with everyone, and now he's able to utilize that social capital and not just be someone that's like, well, they trust me. To your point, he's able to sort of like weaponize, you know, take all these different pieces and assemble a Voltron of not an alliance, but like a bunch of people that would protect Frank. That I think it's a very effective game. And unless there is like some random twist like we saw here that like puts the power specifically in the hands of one person that might not like Frank, I think he's doing pretty damn well for himself.
Yeah.
I think that's why Yuling is great too, because her and Brew have that conversation. Brew has like a strategy. He's like, I need to get the tea because I'm jealous of Nathan, right? And he's just like going in and he's like, I'm gonna get all of this. And then they genuinely have like a serious conversation, and then when it ends, Brew literally says to us, or you know, to the ether, that oh, I actually didn't end up talking about anything, you know, strategic, and we actually connected. So that's where I can see where, you know, now immediately that's a one-on-one connection that's actually past game, right? And that actually is tight. So I understand that piece as well. And that's why I think Yuling got rated so high, because she's being so genuine and everyone's kind of like not strategic with her and actually just pouring their heart out. So I do see that piece. I just get stressed that, you know, if I'm in a group chat with someone and then you're the only person not part of this group chat, my group might pressure me to get your ass out, even though you and I have agreed.
Non, people start being like, oh, okay, that's how Yuling's playing. And it just shows how, you know, once you actually get power in your hands, it's incredibly valuable what you do to exercise it, because it can either really embolden the perception that people have of you, or it could really cause them to crook their heads and be like, that's not the Yuling that I thought I was making a deal with.
Yeah, last week when I was looking at Yuling as one of my contenders to win, I was hoping that her rise would come a little bit later, because it does feel like it came a little bit early, and now people see her as a potential threat, and she was put in a position where she's had to choose between some people. She's already sort of like shown her cards a little bit different times now. That is potentially dangerous for Yuling's game. She does have another relationship in the game, and that is with Nathan, the 22-year-old frat boy who is a golfer and actively pursuing Yuling. I don't think anybody believes that Nathan is genuine. I think this is another example of like they're hiding the fact that like they know that Nathan's not real. We've gotten a couple, like we get comments all the time of like, that doesn't feel like what a 22-year-old would say. then obviously even Brew is like trying to like really get him with the question. And I think that even when he gets it right, it's like, okay. And he was like so excited. They really played this up like, okay, what is an eagle? You're clearly golfing. I thought that was genuinely the best gotcha question of the whole situation.
Yeah, but I also really appreciate it. I appreciate a lot of what Alex is doing, which is just like, again, it's a little game body for a lot of people to come into the circle. Like, I need to play as myself, but like, I appreciate chaos that gets stirred in. So when Alex just tells an outright lie about Alyssa, I thought it was gold.
I thought I did like that too. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like actually being able to trip somebody up, I think the specific question about a thing that they should know was great. I also did like that. And I do think that Alex has some interesting ideas. I especially liked his ratings when he was like, oh, I'm immune, so I can just completely mess with this, and do great things. And he essentially, from what it seemed like, put a lot of his allies as low as possible and his enemies as high as possible. Because normally you'd want to do the opposite of that. Normally you need to have your allies in power so that you maintain your safety. But since he's already safe, might as well put a bigger target on his enemies and make his allies feel like they need people more, and they need, you know, that they're more vulnerable. So I really liked that the ratings that he was getting. It didn't seem like it worked out that well, because the ratings still kind of went a different way, but I liked the concept behind it.
Yeah, and I keep going back and forth with him. So strategic wise, I think, you know, with his board, right? Like, I feel like we haven't talked about that, but
murder board,
whatever that meme is,
maybe
yeah.
A catfish.
Yeah, are you talking about the Charlie Day?
Yes, thank you. That one,
things connected. Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of. And anyway, so that's our strategy wise. I love him, and I feel like he's hammering the Nathan unemployed bit a bit too much. And Alyssa Wright says that, like, it's like, do you have anything else to talk about? When they were talking about the Greek god poses, because even Trevor was like, why aren't you the drinker instead of you know,
thinker.
Instead of like an unemployed, like, okay, cute, we get it, like, move on. But then Alyssa immediately is like, yeah, I should send him to the Museum of Sex, look like he is a 22-year-old that needs help. So everyone is so seesaw with him. Again, another one like Carol, where we're like, what do you believe? Just like go with it and stick to it. It's getting too much.
Sasha, did you notice we actually passed by the Museum of Sex?
Oh, yeah.
We were in New York
you know,
last
I called
week.
It out, too. Yeah. I was like, look, we should go there. Samson, no.
You would have found Alyssa.
Listen.
She lives there.
Yeah. That's her home.
That's her.
She's the curator.
Yeah, she's like the John Hammond to Jurassic Park. Like, welcome to the sex museum.
Get ready for some hugs.
Yeah, there's like little clitorises flying by, like pterodactyls.
The vulva pillows.
Yes, exactly. No, it's interesting because, you know, when it comes to catfishing, I was thinking about this. When if you're coming up with like rules for it, I would say almost never catfish as older, because that's a problem. We see this with Parker. We saw this with John as Carol. And if you catfish younger, I would say catfish as like a younger version of yourself. Like, look at Lee and River in season two, right? Like, River's significantly younger than Lee, but since Lee has kind of, like, obviously not lived in the same decade, but, like, he's been in his 20s before, he's understood that experience, he's able to tap into that. With no offense to Alex, he was given this character who is, like, the complete opposite of him, where he didn't have much to talk about outside. You know, they could, like, ask him about sports, and he'd be like, I don't know. Because that's not really what Alex is into. I know you talked about this last week, Taryn, of like catfishing with your own interests. I think that's the way to go, but it sucks because it lies counter to the more entertaining option, which is catfishing as someone who is completely the yin to your yang.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that like, if we look at the winners of the circle, it's either a genuine person, or I think the catfish that have won have all been people essentially just posing as their significant other, essentially,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think even like the last season, and you know, spoilers for the UK version of the show. have you not seen it, Sasha?
No, I have.
No,
I'm just sad
she's
for
the
one
results.
Who came in
yeah.
second, you
right,
know,
right.
My queen.
But like, and that wasn't a significant other, but it was essentially what could have been a significant other, like the opposite gender, same age, same personality, just swapped genders, basically. So it feels like age is a huge, huge part of it. You should be playing somebody that is a similar age to you. And then, you know, if swapping genders, I don't think that actually like does anything for you, in terms of, like it doesn't, who really cares? It's just like a way for you to like play the game more or whatever. But, trying to reach too far just doesn't seem to work. You don't seem to win that way, but you might not have the choice. So
that's the thing. Yeah. I think I have it on pretty good authority that I believe, Alex, Nathan was not his first choice, I should say, from who he wanted to play as. So I assumed so. Yeah. So I think a little bit is like, it's almost like you give like a short list of like, this is what I could play. And I do think production to a certain extent is like, oh, it'd be fun if you did this. It's like reading over your resume, like, oh, you can do a French accent. Can you do that for me? These are all the options. Let me see what I can pick for you that's going to provide the most entertainment. So again, I think that Alex is, while a little handcuffed by it, he's trying to bring his spin to it, which I appreciate, even if, to your point, like, even someone like Yu Ling, I don't know if she necessarily knows that he is Alex, but I do not think she feels like she is flirting with a 22-year-old, quote-unquote, fun-employed ginger boy.
A politician.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Well, so yeah, we lost Krissa. I just loved Krissa's enthusiasm. Just like how into everything she was. She was always like standing up on the bed, and like, oh no. She was so disappointed when she got blocked. I will say that, another thing that I feel like they need to retire in the circle is the goodbye messages that are like, but watch out. Not everyone is as they seem. Like everybody says it. And then every time they're like, oh, what? Who are they talking about?
But then that person's like, oh, they went to visit me. So it's like,
exactly.
Now it completely validates the messages. So that's the thing. I don't think they're ever going to stop because now these dummies are like, by the way, this person went to visit me. You know, the person that just said everyone's not who you think they are. That was, mm-hmm. They visited me just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
And like Alyssa being like, yeah, Spice Girls visited me. Like, didn't you just watch the message? What are you doing?
Yeah, she was the person who when who was it? Parker or Paul was like, not everyone is as they seem. And then Carol was like, yeah, that was me. She was the one that was like, why would you do that, dummy? now oh I've God. Caught you.
That could have just been the starstruck aspect, though, right? To be like, they visited me. It's information that's too tough to sit on. But yeah, I think the name of the game here, pretty much always, unless you are a shoo-in for them to visit you. Like, if everyone knows they were your best friend, the name of the game is deny, deny, deny. And then you can imagine, like, if everyone denies it, I think you could maybe throw some sus onto someone like Frank, right? Of like, well, Frank and Chris are closest. Why did he not say anything? Because she probably would have visited him. Like, it's a really easy out perspective.
Yeah, and she says she doesn't want there to be, like, suspicion in the group, that it would, like, upset the group dynamic, which is like, first of all, who cares? It's a game. But second, like, okay, I'll buy into the idea that like you really care about the group dynamic. You're also the person who is like throwing shade constantly in group chats. like this, Carol, what about that cake? Remember that? Like she's brought up the cake like five times. Like, what do you mean you don't care about the group dynamic?
It's a hypocrisy. Like, they're all like this. And that's why it's funny. But also, you just want to, like, bang your head against the wall. Because you're like, pick a side. It makes no sense. It's like, fine, be drama. Drag them. Be like, yeah, that cake. How dare you be such a horrible decorator? and Paul, why are you such a good decorator? Or just don't bring it up then. Like, enough already.
Here's what I want from the goodbye message, because I feel like they've reached a point where it's like, it just doesn't matter. Like, if it's a catfish reveal, that could be fun, but what they're actually saying almost never actually matters. So what I want from them now is like, open it up. Let them actually name names. Yeah. Like, let them say whatever they want to say in the things and just be like, and basically give them an opportunity to be like, okay, I'm going to go visit this person so that I can in my thing say, so I visited Alyssa and guess what, guys? She's a 40-year-old man. Like, she is catfishing you all. And now Alyssa has to be like, I swear to you, they're lying. Like, they just had it out for me. You know they had it out for me. Like, give me that at this point.
Imagine.
Let me one up it. They have to do a roast of every person on the way out.
We want to watch fun, like, TV.
Then imagine Krissa.
Maybe crickets, okay? Even on our end, you'd be at home just being like,
I don't know, maybe because I just watched what Drea did, you know, when she was leaving, where she essentially, like, dressed down everybody except Marianne. Marianne, who essentially has, like, big Yu Ling energy, or Yu Ling has big yeah. Marianne energy. But just, like, I kind of want that of just, like, let's be an equal opportunity offender and just, like, go down the line of, like, Nathan, your picture smells. That's how bad you probably don't shower. Brew, that's a stupid name. Get more letters in your name. Just like keep going down the line and maybe throw in some like you're a catfish, you're shady, etc. But just like
I really or, liked sorry,
don't
but
let
you
them
just
meet anyone and then just be like, you, I think you're a catfish. And I did just like start lying on people, like what Alex did to Alyssa, to be like, no, I'm just gonna start lying because like what do I have to lose? You already voted my ass out anyway.
Exactly. That's the like allow them to lie. Or tell the truth in their goodbye thing. I mean, I think if you actually allow them to visit somebody and then reveal who they are, that's probably too specific. Like if, cause it, you could really like, oh, that makes so much sense that I never would have thought like it's the sun. But now that you say it, I'm getting it. But so maybe you prevent them from lying about the person they visited, but let them throw other people under the bus. Like, hey, I had a deal with this person. They just blocked me. So don't trust them. Or like, hey, I think this person's a catfish or come up with a lie. Like this person, said to me this and, they said they'd never been to Europe. And, guess what? They have been to Europe. So, I think let them start really going for it in those, goodbye things. I will say though, Mike, you reminded me of Everson. It was Everson, right? Who was like, it's bruh. What's up, bruh?
Yes! I really, now I guess it's the point, right, that it's entirely text, but like, I kind of wanted just the sound of bruh to have play for Brew. So it's like, he's just going to call him bruh for the rest of the game.
Oh my god! But first he reads it right. He says "brew" and then he corrects himself. That's what got me.
Yeah, it's called like Starbucks barista, right? Bruh, latte for bruh.
Is this brew or bruh? Bruh. His name's definitely bruh.
Yep, I got a cold bruh here.
And we, oh my god! And we just got the package right of him being like, I work with 62 nationalities, and I can communicate across differences. And then he's like, "Brew, bruh, it's bruh."
Yeah, he's like Keegan Michael Key's substitute teacher, right? Like, hey, Aaron, oh, I love you. You're in deep trouble, bruh.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
can we talk about Everson for a second? Because obviously, I think Trevor was the big to-do, obviously, of the pairing. But, you know, Everson's got that camp counselor energy that people like so much when it comes to, like, a social game.
Cruise counselor.
Yeah, he sings. Right? Would you want to be woken up every morning with him, like, singing the good morning song to you?
No. Absolutely not. No one should wake me up early, like, for your own good.
So like if you went on a boat where like that was not something you could request, would you like be strangling him by the end of that voyage?
I'd be like, bruh.
Come on,
bruh. Stop it, bruh.
I'd be like, you wanted to throw an under the sea party, you're going to go under the sea, like leave me alone.
By the way, poor Everson, because dear God, was he given like, all right, well, you can have this steak or you can have a dog turd, which would you like to eat? And it's like, oh, I guess I'll have the steak. With no offense to Marty McFly, you know, that's where his parents met, was the under the sea dance. Like, no one's choosing the under the sea dance instead of a toga party.
Yeah,
not I.
Yeah, I feel like it worked out though, since like he had the opportunity to speak with like a smaller group of people to start it out with, as opposed to like a bigger group where you probably couldn't get as deep. Not that it really went that deep in the under the sea party, but you know, I feel like it for a second there, it would have been really funny if it was just him and bruh together.
And he still got his name wrong.
Imagine it. Because the typer, so whoever the production assistant is, can you imagine them being like, it's Brew, but then he has to write B-R-U-H.
Yeah. And do you think Brew would take offense to that, right? Sort of like the don't spell my name that way. Okay?
Do you think Brew has ever had to deal with this where it's like, they just typed bruh with an H. Are they just calling me bruh or are they getting my name wrong? I don't want to correct them. And then they're like, I was just saying bruh. And they, cause also like, even if they weren't just saying, now they have the ability to say, if to pretend like they were just saying bruh, And now it's just a whole thing. And so he might just be like, all right, I'll just let them call me bro. I don't know.
That's a very unique situation. I'm trying to think about another time where like you can't tell if someone is making a nickname for you or not. Like, I guess if your name was like Duday, D-U-D-E with an accent above it, and people are like, dude, and you're like, are you spelling it wrong on purpose or are you calling me a dude?
Well, that's like when I was younger, people would sometimes mistake my name for Terrence. And so I didn't know Terrence was a name. And so I thought that people were just like pronouncing my name plurally.
Like that's
so weird quirk Terrence. Of yours.
Yeah. Like you think that for some reason you just like to pronounce names plurally. Like there's multiple versions of me or something.
How did you not know even one Terrence?
I was like 8 years old.
Oh, okay, a limited worldview. Yeah. So you don't meet your first Terrence until you're like 13. That's a right.
I think my first Terrence was South Park.
Oh my god!
And you were like, but there's only one of him.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
That's so funny.
So you think if he was called Bruce, would that be worse then?
Probably.
I can't. I will say, I think that Everson did a much better job on his invite. Like, it was funnier than the toga party, you know, as the social chair of my sorority that threw many toga parties. I was like, you could have done better. Because we would be like 18 to be divine, 21 to sip the wine. And so we'd have to like come up with all these things because it was at a club and you had to like make it known that it was 18 and over, like everyone could come. So every party had to have that. So I was like, this is horrible. Like calling it a lituation, like it's a Greek part. Like, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, is that part of like the Imani character? Cause like, I don't know. It's tough. I can't tell what Imani's personality is. Obviously, yeah. You know Trevor's personality, but like, I don't know. Is he playing what Parker professed herself to be, which was to be like quite literally beyond parody, my personality is drinking. And now it's like, now that is an actual persona now in the circle.
Maybe. I feel like I didn't really get a good sense of Trevor or Imani, to be honest. I don't know if there just wasn't enough time or because it just felt like, but we jumped right in. And like, cause like Everson, like he just has a very specific, like, outgoing personality where you like, you get, like, you kind of get a sense of him, who he is. But like Trevor, I was just like, I know of you and I certainly see you, you know, here and he has a personality. I'm not saying he's boring or anything, but I don't really know like what his goal is. Like, who is Imani supposed to be? Like, what's the game plan? Like, I feel like we haven't really heard that yet.
Yeah, I don't know if he knows.
That's the thing.
I think he's just like going with the flow, it feels like.
Well, it doesn't help that he came in, right? He's like, throw a party. Great. Now you have this antivirus software. It's like, what? But this isn't the circle my wife played. What the hell is going on?
He's like, let me live. God.
Yeah, I like that they go into a private chat to decide who to give it to. And they're like, so nice to meet you.
Yeah, that's the wild thing. They're like, oh, nice to speak with you. We haven't been able to in 2 days since we've been together.
And then they're like flirting and getting to know each other while they're trying to decide who to give safety. I was like, what is going on? Like, how can y'all not give them enough time at the start?
Yeah. Do we think that the safety chain would be better if they had a little bit of time to chat? In between, like maybe publicly, maybe they give please. I feel like the problem would be that it would be too structured. It would be like, okay, this person give a plea, this person give a plea, and if it wasn't public, then it would be too controlled. Of like, okay, this person's gonna privately give a plea, so maybe not. But because like I do like the chaos of like, no, please. What do you do? Obviously, you're going to give it to me, right? But I feel like, yeah, it probably wouldn't work on the server. I just answered my own question.
Yeah. And I like the fact that it's based around first impressions as well, right? It sort of also throws the old players on their toes. Is like, okay, you think you made this first impression, you're able to move on. But like now you have to impress a new group of people who literally hold all the power, at least in that initial thing. And at least they had opportunities, right? They didn't talk with each other. But they did have the chance to not only do the party, but then also do their own group chat as well. So I think they got to talk with each one of them, no matter what the situation. I don't think anyone was necessarily given like a cold shoulder where they're like, I don't even know who that person is. So I think it ended up being fine. And like you said, if everyone was given a chance, then I think that eliminates some of like the, oh crap, oh God, who are they going to pick? And then just all the, I would say, quick thinking, but I have it on good authority that apparently we will not see the results of Bruh's decision until next week. But I have heard it took 45 minutes for him to make that final pick.
What?
45?
Yeah. I heard the antivirus stuff went until about like 3 a.m. because there was a lot of just stalling and sitting on who to pick.
I feel like, again, like, why aren't they showing the passage of time? Because that's so interesting.
Give me the SpongeBob, right? Like 45 minutes later. Like something.
Under the Sea party, yeah.
There you go. But that's wild. So, and other people aren't allowed to chat, right?
Yeah, they just have to sit there waiting for BrewPix ... and they just have to sit there for like the length of an episode of television, essentially. An entire episode of television passed between, they could have watched a Netflix episode or something before the results came up.
I like the idea of Brew having to be like it's like, I'm not opening the message yet. It's not seen. I didn't even notice that it came in.
Bye.
Yeah, I was showering and then, you know, I took a nap.
Wow.
And oh man, I just opened it and I'm safe and I have to make a decision. Oh man, what am I gonna, this one.
Yeah, real big dog move, right? Of like, oh, I left that bitch on red. Like, I never even, I didn't even take a look. I was too busy doing some really cool things that I didn't even notice you texted me.
Yeah, I was busy writing a song, you know.
Another roast.
I have to keep my game up so Nikki will hire me. Like, we're good. That's, oh my God, my stomach would be in my butt. Like, can you imagine just like waiting? Cause you have no idea when it's coming. And especially if you're Alyssa or John Carroll, then like you're really just like, bro. Like, no, you can't.
I'm kind of obsessed by the name John Carroll. Cause apparently there's like, I think there's an actor named like John Carroll Lynch. And so that's all I think of when you say John Carroll.
I know. I don't know what to call them. Like, when you're a catfish, so I try to do both, but it's like, then it's like, is production being like, no, he's still thinking? Like, I'd be like, is the TV broken? Like, do I need to go to another room? Like, I think I'd be production's nightmare, because I'd be like, I'm just gonna leave because you can't do this to me. Like, it's a no.
Yeah, like, don't sing good morning to me, don't keep me in the lurch.
45 like, minutes, can you imagine?
Can I like go take a nap? Like, can you just call me back when it's ready to go? Like what is the playbook there?
Yeah, I think the Netflix producers are probably former employees of like the cable companies, right? They're like, we will visit you between the hours of 3 and 6. And you're like, I've been here since 2:45. It is now 6:15. Are you going to come fix my box or not?
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
The Big Brother Canada fans will be at an advantage because they're used to waiting for the feeds to come back up.
Exactly. That's the thing. That Canadians would be like, all right, I live this all the time. Before we get to the safety chain though, I guess we should talk about like part one of cyber attack episode, or whatever it was, right? Where they got the album leak. Happened, post someone else's photo and then ask an anonymous question about them.
Yeah, I liked this. I liked the hack. I liked that. I always like when they have more pictures to add. I do feel like I missed out a little bit on the comments about the photos. Like, I was waiting for somebody to be like, Brew, you know what I mean? Because I feel like they see Brew as like a goofy guy. I feel like they don't see him as like a very handsome guy necessarily, but like now he's got like a shirtless pic on a boat, and I was waiting for them to be like, oh, I didn't know Brew was so fit, but we didn't get any of that. It was just like what was it, who would you bring on your boat or whatever?
Well, I think Frank was trying to do essentially what the safety chain was going to do for him in an episode, right? Of like, you have to pick one person to go onto the boat with you, who are you taking? And Bruh is like, I let the boat sink, and everyone's like, you're never going on any of my ships anytime soon. That is terrible maritime management, sir.
Yeah. But I did like this way of introducing new photos. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it's better than just like doing a silly thing, like, and then just having the photo up. I think my favorite was the question piece of it, where someone got to drag a little. And again, Nathan Alex, like, killing it. Like, that lie. That's what I watch the show for. Okay, I don't watch it for the best friends. Like, please.
Yeah, but I think everyone was probably more participatory in this than the roast, which I could understand. Like, there is a little bit of a higher barrier to entry with the roast because, to you, Link's point, it has to be funny. And here, she doesn't have to be funny, even though she is, when she really phrases so fun with Carol's picture, right? Like, who could hate a sweet and innocent face like that? Is that why you decide to play Carol rather than yourself? Like, that's a really good piece of shade being thrown. And I think it was Alyssa for Rachel, right? Being like, how could you pretend to be so zen and calm when you're actually stirring the pot the entire time? Maybe the roast, like, warmed them up a little bit, but I feel like a lot of them got pretty shady in this game.
Well, so they got to be anonymous in this one, right? So yeah. I think that's the key, where it's like, of course the roast wasn't really going to be that, treacherous when they have to attach their names to it. So, I feel like that's a huge part of it. But we've also seen in the past that, like, a good strategy for the anonymous shade throwing, if you're playing strategically, is to make it obviously you and do something that's not mean. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, okay, well, that's Carol. That's obviously Carol, so that you're in the clear for any of the shady stuff that goes down. But luckily, I don't think we didn't really get much of that. We did get some genuine attempts at shadiness.
Yeah, it helped that nearly everyone did that, right? It's the whole camp versus beach thing that Rob talked about with Survivor. You always want to be with whatever the majority is doing. So if the majority is doing like, hey, what's your favorite concert? Then go with that type of stuff. If it's like, how dare you stab me in the back, you son of a bitch? Then like, go with that type of stuff. Just luckily, I think a lot of the group, even Frank, who again was like Mr. Ned Flanders with his roast, was doing was asked the brew question. They're like, who would you bring on your boat? Pick somebody. So I think that it's nice when they all take that opportunity. I think it speaks towards like the general vibe of this season of The Circle. Was it's not as cutthroat as last season was. I think we hit our peak there, but I really do think there is some sort of like, I don't know, changing paradigm or just like changing attitudes towards the show, towards things like trusting Catfish and maybe some things like not having to just be like polite, to stop getting polite and start getting real in a manner.
Oh, I was waiting. Yes.
I mean, like, for like, it's $100,000, $150,000now. Certainly not a small, insignificant amount of money. Doesn't quite match up to some other shows, but it's still a decent amount of money. But it's so difficult to like actually guarantee yourself a win on this. It's so random at the end. Yeah. And you know, at this point, Netflix has a whole, you know, roster of reality shows that they're pulling, you know, contestants from. I think if you go on The Circle, you should be looking to entertain first, strategize second, because the strategy is only going to get you so far. And if you're a great character and you're adding a lot to the show, I think that that's going to do better for you in the long run.
Listen, clout is important. I say this on all the podcasts, but it's true. Are we going to remember you, Link, or are we going to remember strategy, right? Like, we're going to remember the queen with the stool. Oh, you know, can't even look at at a mirror in the back.
Not the queen with the stool.
Now we're going back to BB21.
And we're not. You said before about your heart, your stomach being in your butt and the queen with the stool. Like,
oh, Lord.
You're in the bathroom this episode.
No, as a short human, like, I really like feel it. Because in the first, like, what, 2 minutes when she jumps on the counter to get the stuff, I was like, yes. Because I have to do that too. Like, I literally have to jump on the kitchen counter to get anything in cabinet.
I'm so hot and cold on Yuling because I don't think she's not genuine, but like her genuine personality is like a character snatched out of a Disney Channel series.
Right.
Just like the way she is just so like animated, like kind of precocious. Maybe it's her age or her height or everything like that. But like, I can't help but get that energy from her. But I can't be like, she's playing that up for the cameras, because that also seems like who she is. Actually, again, very comparable to someone like Marianne from Survivor.
I get the sense from Yu Ling that she is like a deeply like shy, kind of like self-conscious person who has developed a very like outgoing sort of funny personality, but that she feels still very like anxious and nervous about it at times, but is able to sort of like be that precocious person as well. And I think that dichotomy is very interesting, especially on The Circle, where we're getting to see kind of both sides of it. The sort of public facing versus inward facing sometimes version of herself. And I find it interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting, right? The idea of the introverted extrovert. I think that's becoming more and more of a thing now that we're interacting in so many different ways nowadays, where you can be completely open and, you know, all over the place online. And then like you meet someone in person, like they are very much to themselves. And like that's it's somewhere in the middle of that area. And I can very much see that. And it's so interesting considering that, again, we see her just so kind of like brazen down to the color of her hair in her talking to the screen. But then we had this international first batch of episodes when everyone's like, Yu Ling, you need to come out of your shell. It's like, if you saw what she was doing, climbing on that whole ass counter to get to the top shelf, like she does not need to come out of her shell anytime soon.
Yeah, that's what I think. But yeah, and I think that's what is interesting, because she shared with Brew, right? Because that was part of Brew's roast of like, you're never going to live up to your mom's expectations. So it seems like there was a lot of stuff like that at home, and a lot of, I'm assuming, internalized, like, I'm too big, or, you know, like for this Asian family, right? Versus like, oh, but the world is telling me to be this way. And so, you know, I get it, like, as immigrant family, like, I know that my mom, yeah, it's very much like, my mom is like, what do you mean you're podcasting and like telling your business like online? Like, what? Like, this makes no sense. Like, how is this okay? So I understand it's really hard, because you have to like then play the, you're like two characters, basically. Like at home, you have to be one. Or home, when I say home, I mean like family and all of that. And then when you're with like your friend, you're sometimes a different person, or like your true self, right? Either or. So it's a struggle, man. It really is. So no, I feel that for you.
I do think one of my favorites from the roast was Alex's, that your mom is going to be really disappointed in you when you bring me home to her. I thought that was good.
That was good, but that does not scream 22-year-old to me.
No.
Like, again, as someone who is his own stupid 22-year-old, like, he's not writing, you know, Don Rickles like humor like Alex is writing right there. He's not the master of the one-liner, fun employed Eagle Nathan.
Like, same. Even me at 22 would not be making that joke about taking me home to your parents. Like, stop it. No one's thinking that at 22.
Plus, I feel like the look of Nathan is not the guy you take home, but like the guy who's like, hello, Mr. Yu Ling, is she home right now? Like, he just looks, I know he's supposed to come across as a jock, but like, Nathan kind of looks like a goober to me. Again, maybe it's like the hair. It might be the red hair, and it might be like the floofiness of it. He kind of looks like a Weasley child. And so that's just the first thing I jump to is like, okay, he's Ron Weasley. Like, he's Ron Weasley who golfs on occasion. Okay. He's not that, he's not much of a jock to me.
He's kind of like the like Stu, like from Scream, like yeah, he's still like in the jock department, but he's very definitely goofy, definitely like gonna be like kind of the wacky character.
But he does know what an eagle is. Did either one of you know what an eagle was?
Nope.
I would not have known. I think I would have been in the same boat as Alex, where like I knew at one point in my life, you know, but I would not be 100% sure off the top of my head, where I'd be like a little bit nervous about like, I'm pretty sure it's 2 under par because a birdie's 1 under par. But it, what if it's 3, you know, like I would have been like, oh, that's it's a close one.
Yeah, I mean, so I am someone who grew up you know, my hands have calluses on them from playing Mario Golf Toadstool Tour so many times on my Nintendo GameCube. And I'm from Connecticut. And if there's like two things that's intrinsic in my gray matter of my brain, it's boats and golf, just without even participating in either one. So yeah, I knew birdie is one under par, eagle, then albatross is three, the very rare three under par. Some people might call it a double eagle, but they call it an albatross usually.
See, there you go. I would not have known albatross.
Yeah, I was like, what is a Pokemon? Like, please.
I mean, it's a bird. It's not like
I know. Not all merit coming into my mention.
What'd you get on that hole? I got the Zapdos. Yeah,
sorry.
It was a Pikachu, duh.
Yeah, I got Pikachu on the hole, double Pikachu. I mean, listen, if you want to get like millennials into golf, I don't know if millennials are killing golf, but like that's the way you do it. Make it Pokemon themed.
Pokemon listen, golf. Yeah, you had Mario Golf, but what about Pokemon Golf?
There was Pokemon Pinball, but I kind of wish there was, where you hit a little Voltorb around. There could have been money in there.
A little Pikachu. I'm sure there's a golf club shaped Pokemon out there at some point now.
Yeah.
Using a golf club shaped Pokemon, hitting a Voltorb into another Pokemon who's got a hole in it. Like, we've got it.
And then the 18th hole, right? That's the last one. It would be like Meowth. So it's the hardest one and like the coolest and one of one. I'm ready. There you go. A mini golf idea. Pokemon.
Absolutely. Theme. I'm surprised there isn't one like in Japan right now of Pokemon.
Oh, there
mini
probably
golf.
Is.
I'm sure there must be Pokemon mini golf somewhere. I'm Googling it.
Planning the next know-it-alls trip. Is there anyone in the area?
All right. So the safety chain.
Yes.
Let's talk about the safety chain. We started, of course, with Everson and Trevor, and they end up having to choose the first person to be safe, and they end up going with they go with Frank, right?
Yep, yeah, they both pick Frank, which makes sense. I think they both talk with Frank, and Frank, again, is really good at first impressions. That's why he ends up being the number one rated influencer. He just knows how to impress initially, and I think he did the same thing here.
He's really good at creating bonds with people. He's good about knowing how and when to open up at the right times, in the right ways, to make people feel... And it doesn't even feel, when you're watching it, it doesn't feel forced or artificial at all. It feels like this is just, like... He's just a guy who, you know, is good at just naturally bonding with people. And I think that comes across very well. Frank is going to get the first link here in the safety chain.
Yep.
I love how everyone was surprised. Frank?
What?
Like, yeah. Like,
it is interesting. Oh, well, it's interesting, though, to hear. It's interesting to hear Alyssa's perspective because. Yeah, that clip is coming from someone who maybe thinks with their heart and not with their head. That's what Alyssa said about Frank, right? Which I find so interesting that we do have, this is reality TV in a nutshell, is the different approaches that people take. And I do find it intriguing that someone like Alyssa, I don't know, maybe either feels like threatened or like a little scared or just can't put her finger on Frank because he is approaching things in a very different way than she is.
Mm-hmm. So now Frank has to choose, and I thought this was interesting as well, that Frank is going to choose to pass it to Yuling. What's interesting to me about that is that, like, you know, the last time Yuling had power, you got her. Yuling is going to and now Yuling is in a position where she has to choose between the throuple or the Frank and Rachel thing. She's also got the flirt mance with Nathan. So like she's really in a pickle here.
Yeah. I will say that I was not as surprised by Frank picking Yuling because while there was again that Krissa thing, Yuling did do that sort of cleanup afterwards and the hashtag the inner circle was formed right with Rachel, which is going to be the large contributor to her picking Rachel here. So I would imagine it's a little bit of like, what have you done for me lately? Okay, I see, you know, Yuling, I think you're someone that even if you didn't trust Krissa, you can trust me. But it also might help in that, you know, it maybe takes the heat off of him and really puts it onto Yu Ling, who I think is going to earn the ire of nearly everyone left in the game with this decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Yu Ling has to, she could choose Alyssa or Brew, bruh. That, either with the, you're choosing within the thruple at that point, and both of them are expecting the thruple to be chosen. You could choose Nathan, the flirt man's going on. If Nathan feels like it could be me. Now, luckily, you know, I think Nathan is not the kind of player to be like upset if she doesn't choose him, but she doesn't really know that for sure at this point. If Nathan really was the frat boy who was interested in her, then probably would be annoyed. Or then, of course, Rachel, this sort of new bond with Frank, the alliance that they formed. She really has to show her cards here. Ultimately chooses Rachel. Was this the right choice?
I literally was like, but why? You know, and she says it. I know she actually says, oh, because I think Alyssa would choose Carol, which isn't true because you're in a thruple with Alyssa. But okay, whatever. You know, there's thruple means three. That means it would be a third person for Alyssa to choose. But anyway, and then this is what I felt. If you actually look at it, it's almost like they pick the person that let's say I get safety, the person that gave me safety, I'm thinking who would they want? And that's who I'm picking. Like, if you actually look at it, right? Because Frank picked me, I owe Frank. Frank put me in a group chat with Rachel. So that means Frank must want Rachel. Frank actually didn't even, I feel like, talk about Rachel like that. So to me, then Rachel was like, well, Yu Ling is flirting with Nathan, so I will pick Nathan, right? So to me, that's what it was feeling like. And I was very surprised that no one was picking their ally first. Instead, they were picking, like, what would that person want me to pick?
Well, I think there's a little bit of overthinking as well, where Frank, right, I think, is the one, right, who says, like, someone will pick Alyssa down the line. Right. It's like, well, she's taken care of. Like, someone else will pick her. And it's this idea of like relying on their social bonds. But I totally agree with you, Sasha. I think in particular, when it comes to Yu Ling's perspective, I think it was all about Frank, which again does make sense because, again, he's someone who's incredibly popular. He's ranked one, then three, then I guess technically one here, considering he was just given safety. Like, he is someone who apparently you want to get on the good side on. And the last thing I think she wants to do is like, I'm so sorry I got rid of Krissa, but I swear I am with you. By the way, I'm not going to save Rachel, the person you brought in on our alliance. Like, that is a really shitty look. Now, unfortunately, that really comes at the expense of, like you said, I think Nathan would be fine with it. Nothing was truly locked down, but like, Brew and Alyssa were understandably heated about it.
Out of the thruple.
Yeah, because now it's just a duple. But I think that the issue is that, like, they were so surprised because I don't think she never talked, I think, about her relationships with anybody else to those people, mm-hmm. right? In both senses. I don't think she talked with the inner circle people about the thruple at all. She really siloed her relationships. And while that can be nice because it allows people to not necessarily compare notes, as we saw what happened with Carol, where people are like, oh, you said that, she said that to you, she said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, when you are forced to show your hand and pick sides, it absolutely stuns the other side, where they're like, you know, even Alex is like, I had no idea she had a relationship with Rachel. I think that was the main takeaway, is like, you know, what's so good about Rachel? And I think because Yu Ling wasn't able or chose not to necessarily show her cards from a social perspective with who she was close with, it sort of then allowed, when she spilled the cards out, for everyone to be like, I didn't realize you had that in your hand. Why did you have that? I could have used that.
Yeah, I do think there's some merit here, though. If she feels like, as Sasha said, like, this is what Frank would want, I think she can explain it away in that sense. And I think there's also the idea that, like, at the very least, in terms of explanation, there's a reasonable assumption that if she doesn't pick Rachel here, Rachel might be the person that leaves.
Very much so.
If she picks Alyssa, and then Alyssa picks Brew, and then Brew picks either Carol or Nathan, like, depending on which one, like, that could be it for Rachel. So she may be thinking, especially if she has 40 minutes to think, that, you know what, I might have to be the one to save Rachel here. And maybe Rachel will be very, you know, grateful for it.
Yeah. This could be the equivalent of rating your allies low, right? This idea of presenting this image of you have nowhere else to go but to me, right? And it's this idea of keeping someone around who probably is weaker in the standings, not only can prop you up from a social perspective, but also hopefully effectively be someone in your pocket.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for that reason, honestly, for Yuling, I'm kind of hoping that, like, if I'm Yuling, I'm hoping that Brew chooses Carol.
Yeah, I agree.
Because much less mess that way. Yeah,
exactly. Now Alyssa can't be mad. And Brew also chose outside of the thruple. So you can even go to Brew and be like, yeah, that thruple thing was never working, was it? Like, but we can still work. That would be ideal. But I mean, granted, given the fact that it apparently took him so long to decide, maybe this is a tougher decision. I thought it would be a pretty easy one, but who knows? Maybe Carol doesn't leave. It is weird to me that either Carol or Alyssa will leave because they both seem like they've been big presences. Although, I do think Carol took a big backseat in the second batch of episodes as compared to the first batch of them. So,
yeah, and I think that was almost, I don't know, purposeful. Like, I think now, again, sharks are really closing. It's tough to say. They're kind of like toy sharks because at the same time, they're like, yeah, we know she's a catfish, but it doesn't really matter. But I do feel like after coming out of the gate so strong, and that's the other thing about John's game that's so interesting is like, you know, he hits the ground. Was he second place? And then he fell to like, did he fall to last place?
Tied for fourth with,
but that's with Brew. But that's still second from the bottom, you know, veritably speaking. So like that's a rather large fall as well. And I think it just speaks to, again, that idea of presenting this personality of who you are and whether it's the way you wield power or just like the more time you spend in there, the more time you get to talk with somebody, that first impression wears down a little bit. And especially if you're catfishing, it doesn't hold so well. I mean, the other thing about Brew's decision too, though, is like what you said about Yuling of like, okay, I'm off the hook because Brew, you know, had a chance and spurned the thruple. Brew could theoretically do the same thing, right? He's like, well, Yuling sort of drew blood first by not picking from the thruple. I have a bunch of other relationships, including with Carol. Maybe I should take that as a sign that this thing wasn't a thing to begin with.
Yeah, like, I mean, Alyssa's theoretically a bigger threat than Carol, although, again, given how the end of the game works, I don't think that really applies all that much. In some ways, Carol could be more of a threat than Alyssa in the end, because people see Alyssa as more of a threat and may therefore rate her lower in the final rating. But that's an aside at that point. Yeah, the rest of the safety chain goes relatively how you would expect, I think, with Rachel choosing between Nathan, Brew, Alyssa, or Carol. She had just made the alliance with Nathan. So even though there had been some tension there, it seemed like a pretty, it felt like that was a call that made some sense. She didn't really have enough connections elsewhere. And then Nathan choosing Brew was a very easy call, I think, for Nathan, considering he had invested the most in that relationship. Which leaves Brew having to choose between two allies, one in a thruple and one mama bear.
God, what a horrible place.
The decision we've all been faced with. Is it your mother or your lover? Who do you choose? Who do you take on the boat?
Yeah. And I guess this means no more sex advice for Mama Carol.
I think that's good for everyone.
Yeah, I think John's filled up. I think he's got enough. He can walk out now into this world.
Well, I think the point was that he wasn't fulfilled enough.
Yeah, now John's partner is going to be like, wow, you lay like a 50-something-year-old woman. He's like, thanks, Alyssa. You taught me well. I now know how many nerve endings.
I can't. I can't with the Spice Girls getting a sex talk. Like, what show am I watching?
I wish Sean had been like, so hypothetically, let's say that you're my son. Like, what kind of advice would you give my son sex wise if you were, let's just pretend you were talking to him?
This really could have been eye opening from like finding out more about John's home life and being like, can you tell me the birds and the bees? Like, my son, I mean, yeah, he never found out about them. So I would love to know exactly what it is.
I've got to teach him some things. So,
No.
Oh, my God. It's like Bridgerton season one when she's like, you know how the animals, they just kind of know what to do. So you'll also know what to do. What are you doing?
John could be a real Daphne Bridgerton, you know?
Listen, we don't know Carol's life. Poor Carol. Can you imagine? You know, my son, I feel like I need grandbabies. So what are the best things that I should be telling him? Like, that's some shit I could see.
I have a friend. Like, it very much has that tone.
So if you're John and you come home and they're like, how'd it go? It's like, it went pretty well, I think, you know, it's, we're so excited to watch. We're going to like, we'll all watch together as a family, right? Yeah.
I absolutely the hell not.
I think as soon as you see the chat request come up, you're like, anyone want popcorn? And
yeah.
I'm going to go to the store. I think there's the best popcorn is from the store. I'm going to go. It's like a few towns over, but I've experienced it. I'll be back.
You're like, oh man, the signal. Oh, the TV's. Oh, something's happening with the TV with the Netflix stopped working for this whole segment with, oh man, it's a couple of minutes now. Look, we're back. We're back.
I think we just missed one conversation.
I think that's
easy. Just fast forward this part. It's okay. Like Netflix sometimes glitches.
I mean, it's very easy what you could do, right? Especially if you're with your parents, is like, if they're not the most technologically adept, like, you know, unplug HDMI port one. Like, I don't know what's going on. And they can't get their hands on it. They don't know what it is. And so you have all the power in your hands.
Mm. Like, oh, I sat on the remote and it's fast forwarding. Oh, crap. How do I stop? Oh, there we go. Can we just go back? We don't want to go back. It would take too long. And it's so hard to figure out how to, you know, find the spot. It's like you see little frames, but it's like, where is this really? It never is the exact spot. It's,
the spot where you're supposed to go, the go spot, the G spot is really hard to find. And so you really have to move past the G spot.
You should not, everyone, please.
Well, now it's revealed that Sasha did step into the Museum of Sex to learn.
Listen.
All right, everyone.
I would just be so stressed because my mom would have to watch like every scene I'm in twice. So I just can't imagine to be like, I think I would have to be like, Mom, I just said some inappropriate things. Like, it's just best for us. Fast forward.
If she sees that scene, is she like, all right, gotta watch it again?
She'll be like, Don, you got to leave the room. You got to leave the house for the next few hours.
Would she give you notes on like?
She'd be like, you were right. Thank you. I DM Alyssa. Thank you, Alyssa. It did actually work. The foreplay all day did actually work. Because that was the advice.
Is that what we call the same name show that ran for four episodes? Foreplay all day.
I mean, that's the nightmare, right? The John is the episode's on and he's like, oh, here comes the part. Oh my God. And then it's on. And, instead of like, I feel like, you know, what you're imagining is like everyone's silent and it's awkward and it gets past and nobody says a word about it and nobody ever speaks of it. Like that's one level of awkwardness. The next level of awkwardness is that the mom and the dad both are loving it. And that they're looking at each other like,
That's a good idea.
No. can you pause that, honey? We're gonna be right back, and you hear like the Spice Girls pumping up from above behind a closed door to become one.
Yeah.
No, I no. Oh hell no! Oh my God!
Might as well be a rose because it's hot in here.
You go away. Like you end up like coming back. Like you wake up in the middle of the night and you go downstairs and they're watching that part again.
Yeah.
And they've got like a notebook out and you're like, oh no.
No, they have a giant whiteboard behind. They have the Alex board with all the pins and like the human body, just like strings connecting to other parts.
And like any bickering married couple, they're like, no, I told you to do this, but you're doing this instead. What did she say? Should we just call Alyssa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you put, honey, can you FaceTime Alyssa right now?
Yeah, she's just great. You know, do you have her number actually? This is,
just, you know, I want to invite her over for a good Italian meal. Like, you know, let's just, yeah, let's talk through this.
Now, even worse of that nightmare, you know, the nighttime passes and you just hear from the bedroom, good morning, good morning. And then Everson comes out in a silken robe.
And them short shorts he had on, the purple shorts.
You're just like, oh my God, how did this happen? I just wanted to play my mother in the circle. Now there's an orgy happening. There's another thruple happening next door to my parents and Everson.
No, I think Paul showing up is the nightmare.
Oh, Lord.
Now, I am a licensed marriage therapist.
I brought my memoir with me.
And they just like, it's just like a, I don't know. It's like a box of condoms. Like, here's my memoir. Please, let's go upstairs.
Oh, God. Meanwhile, John might have another sibling on the way.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. All right. Oh, I think that's all.
And the band, the baby will be named Bruh. We're bringing it full circle.
There it is. There it is.
We love it.
That's the next batch of episodes for the circle. So we're full circle on all of it.
Oh God, we're gonna get canceled. People are gonna be like, never, no, don't put these three on. The like,
so the first 7 minutes were spent on like, hey, who has the same name as you? The last 7 minutes were spent on like this, like hellscape fantasy of John essentially like letting his parents get new tips to have sex, and then Everson gets the mom pregnant with, mm-hmm, with real Carol pregnant with a baby named
Oh my
Bruh.
God.
So it's look, just like a nice representation of the past 2 hours.
If it happens, we look like prophets.
Yeah.
Call me next time. Yeah. I can't wait to tell which other parents are still having sex.
All right. Well, I will, of course, be back next week to talk about the third batch of episodes. I think how it works is that we're going to get another 4 episodes, yep, and then the finale is going to be separate.
Yep, that's the way. So it's 13 episodes, 4 a week, and then episode 13 is going to be same day as the Survivor finale, May 25th.
Doubling up on the finales. There you go. So we'll be back next week to talk about the third batch of episodes, and then full week following that for the finale episode. We'll go over the results of the Circle season 4. We'll get them all out of the way at once. Then I'll truly have some time off before Big Brother 24.
Yeah, you'll get a nice like month. Maybe even a few weeks, depending on when the cast drops. So, yeah, like, enjoy that vacation, I suppose. And then, who knows? So, if they're planning to do 2 a year, like they did last year, like, I believe they've already filmed season 5. They're definitely already confirmed for season 5. So,
I would
not be surprised if we get one in the fall.
They really crank them out. yeah.
All right, Alyssa.
Oh, God.
What have we become? All right.
Okay, we're back.
Yes. So any final thoughts? Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this was a very distinct week from where things were last week in many ways. Again, I'll repeat what I said at the top there of how I like a lot of decisions with the game. And I think there are certainly some strategies going on and personal like philosophies that I find interesting. The cast in particular, again, is not like massively hooking me, but it's not like I'm exactly, you know, driven away to watch these people in any way, shape, or form. So I'm hoping that the further we get away from like the Spice Girls or the Safety Chain, even as fun as it was, and the more we get to like, obviously we have what, like 4 or 5 people to get rid of in the next 4
yeah, how
episodes
many people do we have left at this point?
So since we haven't eliminated someone at the moment, right, we still have I think 10 people technically left in the game at this point.
Nine. I think it's 9.
Yes, yeah, so we have to eliminate 4 people on the way to a final 5, assuming it's a final 5. So I'm hoping
we got to get a double blocking at some point, right?
Yeah. So I'm hoping we get a bit quicker with it, which I think is going to cause people to be on their feet a bit more. I'll be intrigued to see Everson and Imani now how they fit, because now that immunity is going to expire, right? We'll see how they fit into everything. So I'm intrigued to see what happens, and maybe this will give more opportunities for like them to open up personally as well. Maybe we'll get some more of those sob stories that we really do love, and allow me to like personally root for some of these people in addition to watching them get to play on the circle.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Sasha?
Yeah, I'm excited for Frank and Yu Ling. I really, you know, want to see them grow a little bit more and hopefully make it to finale, because that's, I feel like I'm in it with them. I really am. So I'm really excited. And looks like we're getting Secret Super Influencer next week or next batch of episodes. So, you know, that is the one where I feel like it can get real messy, or someone mm-hmm. can get really shady and anonymous. So
these people did when they're anonymous and they're just given pictures
exactly.
to work.
Exactly. And now you can eliminate someone. I feel like Carol or Alyssa, like, again, I feel like back on the chopping block, either or.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. Of course, again, we'll be back next week. Check out the Survivor coverage happening right now. I've got the Survivor Stockwatch going. Talked to Claire last night about the last couple of episodes. And I'll be back next week for the penultimate Survivor episode here in season 42 as well. And postseason Big Brother coverage is happening. I've talked to Herman and Summer so far. We've got some more interviews coming your way for the postseason here in Big Brother Canada 10. And check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, and on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. Mike, what have you got going on?
Holy moly. Okay. I could give my plugs in the same length of time it took Bruh to think through his choice here. So I'll start with the circle, I guess, and actually work my way outwards. So like previous seasons, I am doing exit press for the circle. I am going to attempt to speak with everybody who is left in the game from when we left these episodes. And so then there's eliminations will come out, obviously, like as they are eliminated. But I'm hoping to get some chat with at least all of the final nine, quote unquote, as they get eliminated. That's all up at parade.com. Also covering Survivor there, where I'm doing exit press and, of course, doing the B&B with Liana Boris. We have Jessica McKenna, who is a comedian, improviser, and also a big Survivor fan. We're having her on this Monday, which should be exciting. I'm going to keep de-dumbing because I'm going to be on Nothing But Netflix this week, talking the it's a Mike Myers joint.
He has
returned to the screen. He plays about 15 different roles. It's a show about conspiracy theories, and there's a good amount of pee and poop jokes. So, you know, we got a lot to talk about with myself, Rob, and Chappelle. But over on post-show recaps is really where things are just like percolating like a coffee pot. So Stranger Things, Josh Wigler and I are doing coverage of season 4, and we are doing podcasts every week. We are rewatching a season. So we did season 1, which I forgot how incredible it was. I'm in the middle of season 2. I did not remember how maybe not so incredible it was, but we're getting you reacquainted with the situation for when the show comes back. Going to be actually reintroducing that model for another show this coming week that I will just loosely refer to here without being explicit about it. This past couple of weeks, I did some Star Trek coverage. Rob Citronino joined Jessica Lise and I to talk Star Trek Picard, which just concluded. And I did a very fun Star Wars RPG in preparation for Obi-Wan Kenobi, which coming in a couple of weeks. We decided to play a Star Wars game where we played a bunch of different characters. I played a protocol droid a la C-3PO that was remade into a homicidal killing machine.
Oh, my God.
If that intrigues you, be sure to check it out. Lots of other fun people on there. Josh Wigler, Grace Leader. I'm covering Barry as well every week on Post-Show Recaps. And Josh Wigler and I are going down the hatch doing a Lost Episodes countdown. So, yeah, there's a lot of things happening with myself and being on this microphone. And I am grateful for each and every minute I get to do it, including getting to talk about the circle with you all.
There you go. Sasha, how about you?
You can
get a list as long as Mike's.
No, thank you.
Slowly.
Yeah, let me just talk. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me on Twitter @funsize_04 and over on Mess Magnets with Kirsten McInnes, where we talk all drama, all tea, you know, some pop culture, but it's really vibes and then everything else. But if you're ever wanting to know, any drama that comes across your TL. We've probably covered it. This new episode coming out this week, or maybe it's already out. We talked about tattoos and dating younger men and a lot, you know, cracking your engagement rings, Kourtney Kardashian. So lots of mess, lots of fun, some TikTok drama as well. So go check that out. Leave us some reviews because we're new. We're trying to get renewed. And, you can also check me out over at Silent Podcast. It'll be out this weekend where we're covering the last four episodes of Abbott Elementary. You can just look up Silent Podcast and we'll be on there chatting those as well. Thank you so much for having me. Love the circle. So glad I got to talk about it.
Yes. All right. Well, that's what we have for you then this week. Thank you so much for joining us here for the Circle coverage, and we will see all of you next time.